Hey, y'alls, you good? Got enough Bible power there? Thank you, Sam. And by the way, I'm a female, P.S. Just thought I'd let you in on that. Yeah, but I'm letting you know now I'm a female. Right on. Yeah. I know, I'd be really confused if I was a guy. Okay, so we're going to flip open to John 15, 1 through 17. Please, with a cherry on top. Yes, there are cream and sprinkles, but only for you. And gummy bears. Yeah. Is everybody there? I don't know what page it is because it's different in every Bible. Hey, shh. 598, you said, Lissa?
Yes.
It's 598 in the blue Bibles. Yes, you can hold them up. They're still blue, still Bible. Well, I mean, if you're colorblind, it could be green or red or orange. So you never know. My brother does. Yeah. He's red, blue, green, purple. So whenever things are like orange, he sees them as purple. Whenever they're green, he sees them as red. And it's just, he's odd. I don't know how I'm related to him. So is everybody cool in there and happy camera? And I don't really, clock is broken. So somebody needs to tell me to like chop it off when it's getting to the end. Great. Okay. Awesome. We can say less time to speak. Cool. So I'm going to read it aloud for, I don't know how to read it. That's why I have a phone, but Christy has my phone, so. No, it's cool. If it's like that, I can't read it. So I'm going to read it aloud to you guys, because I enjoy reading, and then you guys will actually hear it instead of, sometimes people just ignore me when I say read it in your head and just doze off. So it starts off by saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command, love each other. So I was kind of curious about one of the words that was in it, and it's the word prune, and it means, I looked it up online, and it says to cut off or remove dead or living parts of a branches or a plant, for example, to improve shape or growth. So the way that like I took it to understand is you need to trim the tree to help it grow. You need to take off the parts that are dead or take off the parts that are infected, and that way it can grow to its full potential. And we have this tree. My parents now have an orchard, and we have this branch that fell off in a storm. And it was completely broken off, and it snapped off. And my mom put it on the counter in the sun in hopes that some of the fruit would still kind of get healthy and maybe grow, and maybe we could eat some of it. But it had been a couple weeks, and it was still, you know, the tree was the tree branch was dry and withered and it hadn't been growing anymore. And finally we gave up on it and had to put it in the compost pile. And it's kind of sad because the reason why the tree branch broke was because it was so heavy with the fruit that it literally, the weight of it kind of broke off. And it's interesting because if the gardeners had trimmed it, like, you could have saved some of the fruit, but they didn't in an attempt to save all of the fruit. And so it's kind of an interesting theory that sometimes you have to go through painful things, such as like trimming a tree, which I don't know, I have a cactus named Sandwich and I had to clip some of him and he's actually in my car. I'm kind of ashamed that I brought him, but I thought you guys might say hi to him. And he kind of gets unhappy when I trim him. He kind of oozes and kind of is grumpy at me. But the thing is, like, he grows a lot stronger. And I know you're laughing at me, but he's cute. I'll show you. And you oftentimes have to take off parts that are infected so that it doesn't infect the rest of the tree. And that's kind of important because the branch cannot grow much further without the tree. And the tree isn't going to grow fruit if it doesn't have branches. And they're kind of a unique combination. One without the other is not really a tree. If it's just a stick and doesn't have any branches or any leaves, it's just a stick. And it's kind of important because together they're one. Together they are the true combination. And we are oftentimes, we think of ourselves just as ourselves, but we are one with God. Like, we are part of a combination with God, and He loves us. And oftentimes we don't really realize that. And it's when we go back to God, we go back and say, like, I am part of you, that we can grow in the way that God wants us to. And I'm going to use a life story. I did my life story on Tuesday, and it was really hard, and so this should be easier. In my sophomore year, I was in high school, and I desperately wanted to be a ballerina. I wanted this since I was three. I'd been taking extensive dance classes, and I was doing a lot of dance. And at this point, in my sophomore year, I had a problem where I kind of took a step away from God. And I just, we weren't doing really well, and I, as a subsequent problem, was starting having problems with dance. My ankles were hurting. And they were worried about, you know, that I would fracture it and stuff like that. And ballet is kind of an intense sport. It's not really, it's just, they demand so much of you. You get your leg up here and then they want it over here. And you are always working harder to get faster and more in shape. And it was just really draining on myself. And in addition, I wasn't walking with God. We just kind of had a break. And it took a complete breakdown for me to realize that, like, ballet wasn't what God had in plan with me. And I didn't then know what He had in plan with me, but all of a sudden what I had thought, what I had worked for, wasn't what He had planned. And so it kind of took me going back to God and saying, like, do with me what you will. Like, I thought I was going this direction. I thought I was growing there. And Him saying, no, you're going to go this way. Because I was, like, trying so hard, but it wasn't working with what God had planned for me. And as soon as I stopped knowing that ballet was kind of my goal plan, I kind of felt a little bit free. Like, I didn't have this constant demand to be the best in the class. I didn't have this constant demand to, you know, even when I was at home, I was thinking about, like, what I was doing wrong in class and what I needed to work on and stuff like that. And I decided to go to college. And instead of going to a dance academy and starting dancing when I was 17, and just kind of slowly worked on my relationship with God. And as I kind of did that, I realized that instead of me deciding what my plan was for my life, I needed to let God decide what my plan was. And so it took some time, but it takes time to fully grow. And now I'm going to decide if I want to work with high schoolers or little kids. I can't decide. But God has just placed so many opportunities in my life that if I hadn't stopped dancing, I wouldn't have known. Like, I was offered a job for this summer back in Washington at the elementary school that I worked at this past year. And then this worked out that I got this SLI job. And it was just now that I was much closer with job, with God, he provided so many opportunities. And it was just so crazy that when I was doing dance, like, I had ankle problems, I was struggling with being body shape, I had a constant demand for perfection, all these things that weren't working because I wasn't walking with God. And the second that I was, it was so much simpler. And it's interesting because when I wasn't walking with God, I didn't feel very loved. I didn't really like that I was exhausted all the time and working so hard. And just when I decided that, like, I needed God so much more than I needed to be angry at him, I kind of just loved him and loved the fact that he loved me despite the fact that I was still angry with him. And it was kind of interesting because despite, you know, going off in the direction that I thought I wanted to go, he helped me continually still grow. Like, I'm still going to college, and, you know, SLI has been a fantastic experience for me, and I still feel like he has great plans for me, which is kind of an amazing thought, like, to know that he is an active part in shaping my life and helping me grow to my full potential. And one of, just when I was reading this, it was just kind of interesting to feel that, I don't know, I think of a gardener as having, like, a close relationship with their garden. You know, they're always in there in the morning, in the evening, they're watering, they're checking for bugs and stuff like that. And they kind of just are a constant presence. And that's kind of a nice feeling. Like, I like the idea that somebody is there, you know, constantly checking on me, constantly checking to make sure that I'm, you know, doing well and, you know, being healthy and, you know, being strong, and he has plans for me. And that's just kind of a cool thought that he has, you know, this constant coming back. He's always coming back to check on you. And it talks about how the Father has loved you, so I have loved you. And it takes a lot of love to continually give such caring patience and taking care of something. I water my cactus once a month, but if he needed more watering, I would water him. And he doesn't really have many leaves that come off, but if he did, like, I don't know, I talk to him. That's my way of caring for him. And it's just, like, that's such a close relationship of, kind of, it's kind of almost like a parent-to-child one, where there's this bond, and that's kind of like the relationship that God has for us. Like, God really loves us, and he shows his love by helping us grow in these amazing ways, and he makes such small actions happen, like making this internship work for me, and making sure that I have a job for next year, and that the priest who's on my floor next year is this amazing person, and he gives me, like, really strong family and friends who, like, keep telling me to go back to God and keep telling me to, you know, don't give up and don't give hope. And it's kind of interesting because, like, these friends and family, like, in addition to God, all kind of help shape who I am. It talks about in verse 12, it says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." And then he goes on to say, "This is my command, love each other." And when I read that, like, it was kind of, I kind of found it something hard to believe, because it's easy to love our friends and our family. Like, they love us and they do things for us. But it's even harder to love the people that you don't know and people that you don't necessarily get along with. I remember growing up with my brother. He's kind of shy and he's kind of awkward and kind of quiet. And I remember loving him but not understanding him at all. We were such different people and we had nothing in common, it seemed. But I loved him, and I don't know if anybody, like, would do this, but if there had been any instant where he needed me, I would have been there in an instant, even, like, I didn't understand what he wanted. And I have friends that I feel that love for. Like, if they ever needed me, you know, if they were ever hurt in any way, like, I would help them in any way. And it's kind of interesting that it says that he would lay down his life for his friends, because I've never been called to do that. Like, I've never had to lay down my life for one of my friends. And it's kind of a scary thought to know that you put somebody else's life at a higher value than your own. And that's kind of an intense thought. And like, that you would love somebody else, even when you don't understand them, even when you don't necessarily like them, but you would still lay down your life for them. And I feel like oftentimes we throw around the word how easy it is to love somebody, like, oh, I love my best friend, or, oh, I love my dog. And we say that a lot. I feel like my parents say it a lot, and, you know, we fight and stuff, but it's such a precious word that is said so often. I feel like it's often lost its value. And that's kind of sad, because it's a truly interesting concept of you feel something for this person, that you love them despite their flaws, and you love them even when they don't necessarily love you back in that same way. And just to love somebody who loves us back is easy. You get something out of it that you know, you give something and then they give you something back. But to love somebody else that you don't necessarily get the same thing in return, that's really hard. And it was really interesting, because earlier this week, my dad and I were fighting where he was just feeling unappreciated in our house. Like, he does things for both my mother and I, and we say thanks, but we don't really do oftentimes things in return. And after having that fight with him, I realized, like, even though I said I love him, I wasn't doing anything to show that I loved him. Like, he wasn't necessarily asking me to lay down my life for him, but he was just asking for something in return. And so I made more of an effort this past week to get up and have coffee with him, or whenever he asked me to do something, to do it, like, right then and there. Because, like, I told him that I loved him, you know, every time I left, but there's a difference between, like, saying that you love somebody and showing that you love somebody. And I think that the showing is oftentimes more important than just saying it, because actions tell so much more about a person. They show that you put time and thought and effort. And I spent the day with my dad yesterday, and we went to a goat farm, and I milked the goat, and it was just like, we're spending all day with each other. And I don't know that many college students that would spend an entire day with their dad over at a goat farm. And I don't know, it was like what he wanted to do, and I kind of found it cool too, so I was willing to do it. But even if I hadn't been that interested in it, like, it's what he wanted to do. And just sometimes, like, putting our own interests at a smaller importance level, kind of just, like, if you can do something that makes them happy, I feel like that's just, you get so much out of it. And so it is a struggle sometimes to do not what you want, but to do what somebody else wants. But I feel like it's something that you can get such joy out of it when you do it in the end. And so this is my challenge to you guys, for the next week. Find somebody that, and you don't even have to love them, even if it's just a friend, find some way to show them that you love them. Even if it's just, you know, you write it on a card and you stick it in their desk, or you know, when they ask you to go to coffee, you go to coffee. But find some way to show that you care, because it's easy to get caught up in all the things that we want to do and all the things that we have to do or we feel like we have to do. But when we do things, like, just do a family dinner. Like, I hadn't realized until my senior year in high school, like, how important that was to my mom. Like, she loves doing family dinners, and I'm kind of only so-so on them, but we'll do them every week now. And it's a big thing to her, and it's not that bad. It's just an hour and a half out of my week. It's all she wants. And in a day where parents have helped you so much, I feel like that's such a small thing to give back. And so in this next week, I'm going to ask you guys to do something for somebody else. Like, even if it's just a friend, if it's for a parent or something, just try to help somebody in some small way. And then we'll come back here next week, and you guys can tell me if you guys did do anything and talk about that. And if you didn't do anything, like, you can talk about, you know, why you didn't do it, or like how it impacted you to do these things, and like what you felt when you were doing them. And I think it'll be really a good experience. Like, I kind of felt myself growing yesterday. Like, it was kind of an experience when you take in, you're not really expecting to enjoy something, and then all of a sudden you do. You're like, why didn't I just, like, why did I complain so much? And you find that sometimes you just have to do things. Even though you don't necessarily want to. Like, you have to do your homework for school, but you just have to do them because you have to do it. But this is something that I want you to want to do. Because when you want to do it, it puts, like, the other person can feel it. And it changes, like, the whole experience for them and for you. So, I don't know. If you guys can put some time into that and think about, I don't know, like, I would do something for my best friend or for my parents. Find somebody that means something to you, and find some way to let them know how important they are to you. And show it to them. Because, like, people are important to you. People are just as important to you as God is, or God should be. And it's a good thing to do, to show people that you love them. And you're also following God's word, and kind of in the way that God tells us to love each other. Like you feel good when you're doing it. Like, I felt really happy hanging out with my dad yesterday. Like, it's a good feeling to know that you're doing something good, and you're showing your love, and you're following God's word. Like, it's just a really cool feeling. So I don't have any cool cards like Bryant had. I'm not going to do a backflip, but I'm going to ask that you guys, Bryant, pretty please with a cherry on top. Can you do a backflip? Oh, okay. His knee's broken. He heard it at Sky High or something, right? And so we'll come back next week, and I don't know who. Jordan, are you speaking next week? Or is it Christy? Christy? No? We're at family camp. So next week will be family camp, and all of you guys who are coming to family camp, you guys should... We can talk about it then, and then when we come back from family camp, I can... Actually, you guys can have another week, 2 weeks, to get it done. We come back the 14th, and the following Sunday, we can have you guys talk about it.